Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the one and only movies, TV, Game of Thrones, sci-fi, fantasy show on the internet. I'm Dan Selke. I have some ice in my mouth, and I am here with Mia Johnson of fansided.com.
I don't have ice in my mouth.
Nope. Why don't you introduce yourself for a second? Why don't you do this?
All right. Well, I think we're getting ready to talk about a lot of good things. I think we're ready to recap our year.
We are. I mean, this is our last show of the year. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks for joining us, Jen. Everybody else who's watching us right now. Basically, I thought for the final show of the year, because we're going to be off for Christmas and New Year's, which literally the next two Wednesdays are Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So we'll be on. Sorry. I thought that we would just kind of go over the Hello Louise in the UK. 2019 in pop culture, the last year of the 2010 decades. What did we love? What didn't we love? What were some of the just the highlights of this final year before we enter a new decade in movies, television, or whatever else may have happened? Hey, Julie, and anybody who wants to weigh in on what they thought was memorable this year, good or bad, please feel free.
Oh, yeah, chime in.
And I think we have to start with Game of Thrones.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I'm very, very positive. The final season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It was hugely hyped, as I think only a show in this era of rabid internet discourse can be hyped almost. Yeah. It came. It was, we all watched it. We all had feelings. There was a giant backlash. There was people defending it. Mm-hmm. Now it's over. It's kind of in the rearview mirror for a bit. I think we'll be thinking about it for a long time. Personally, I still, like, now with distance, I still do think they could have done things just differently to kind of make the point. They were, you know what? I will say this. Mm-hmm. In an era where I think there are a lot of shows and movies that kind of pull their punches a bit. I know that The Last of Skywalker right now is kind of getting drilled a bit for being a little too safe.
Yeah.
I will say this. Game of Thrones was not safe. It was never safe. It had the main hero commit genocide on a whole city of people. It did not pull punches. I honestly do respect that it didn't take a safe route. I thought they could have done it better, but I do like that. The question now is, I think its importance to TV is undeniable. I think we'll be seeing its influence for a long time. What do you think, Mia, that Game of Thrones' legacy might be?
Ew.
If you had to project yourself into the future?
Yeah, I've already seen that, as we've talked about, people are trying to be like the next Game of Thrones. I think that's already, people are like, movie studios or TV studios are like, wow, people really like that Game of Thrones thing, didn't they? We should try to do something like that.
They've been making it for a few years now.
Yeah.
Now we're just seeing the results.
And I think it probably was because Game of Thrones was still around that they've kind of been silent about what they were, what they want to put out. So they were like, now that, you know, the king's dead, you know, it's like open field for everyone.
Go get it.
Yeah. So I feel like that is part of that legacy of people trying to, you know, replicate it. But how will it turn out? I think that's for us to see in the future. And I don't know. I think one thing that I do kind of think we'll miss is that sort of unified togetherness of watching a show like that every week. Can sort of say that about Mandalorian, but no single person is watching it at the exact same time the way we are with Game of Thrones, you know, every Sunday
night.
It is
a little better how they're releasing it weekly. I was going to say, if I feel like, by the way, really quick comment break, because Louise says that Dan gargling ice makes him go into his George R. R. Martin impression, which I can see. I enjoy ice. It's cold and refreshing.
Oof.
And Christine says, the witch could be interesting, which it could.
Oh, yeah.
And Louise says, kind of love the hype more than the last series, missing the build up to each season and how we waited for each tease, missing that big time.
Yeah.
It is missing. Yeah. I was going to say, like, right now, the end of this year, I feel like we finally saw the first crop of post Game of Thrones shows. Mm-hmm. The Mandalorian was one of them. Watchmen was one of them. I think The Witcher is going to be one of them when it comes out in a couple of days. And I wish I could say what I wanted to say about it, because I've seen it a bunch of it. I want to say it so badly, but the embargo doesn't come out until 2 days. I think if anything kind of like you kind of said, capitalized on like a giant audience like Game of Thrones did, the Mandalorian came closest.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're right. It's still not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. And yeah, like, was, as Louise was saying, talking about the build-up, there is something special about, kind of like when you're celebrating Christmas. It's like, it's sort of like Christmas Day, but it really is like about the build-up, like watching the interviews, watching the teasers, watching all those previews and looking up spoilers and all that stuff. That is really fun. I mean, not necessarily unique to Game of Thrones' legacy, but I think it is something shared.
The widespreadness was a little unique. See, the like Facebook had like a Game of Thrones holiday party, and it was like this giant elaborate, like Facebook, this giant elaborate thing with like feasts and prop swords and like green screen go up the wall. It just happened like last week. And it'll be interesting now to see when House of the Dragon comes out, if it comes out. Well, I don't want to say anything for sure.
Yeah.
In order to series, now the next Game of Thrones show will just kind of be competing with all these other Game of Thrones follow-ups.
Yeah. It's definitely competing with that. It's competing with itself in a way.
Definitely.
I really can't.
So nervous.
I can't foresee if it's going to catch on the way that it did with Game of Thrones. I know we talked about this a couple times, but I'm just like, to me, it's a toss up. But it might, you know what? It might be sort of in the way where, with like Harry Potter, obviously Harry Potter is done and over with the main series, but
I hope it's not like Harry Potter.
Well, yeah, that's the thing though. It's like, there's this resurgence with Fantastic Beasts, but let's be frank about Fantastic Beasts. Not the best Harry Potter movie, not the best movie ever. I really don't know what to say for sure.
as Julie said, she might think it was the hype that led to a lot of disappointment. Our expectations were perhaps too high. I do agree with that. I mean, at some point, nothing can kind of, the expectations were sky high.
Yeah.
I personally do think the show just didn't quite deliver what it needed to.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it could have turned those expectations into. Then again, I'm not sure we've really seen like something that has that high expectations
and really
that
delivers.
Also makes everyone, or at least most people, just elated. I think the closest thing that even can have that high expectations is Star Wars. And as we're seeing already, we're talking about this on Wednesday, the Rise of Skywalker reviews are divided at best.
They are, yeah. Yeah.
So it's going to be so much fun.
I know.
And Christine, you just asked, what do you mean if? I just mean that, I don't know, there was a game. I'm sure there has been Game of Thrones up on the screen, but there was a Game of Thrones spinoff, Blood Moon, that was going to happen and didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Although this one, they ordered a series. So I'm sure we'll see it. I just don't want to get my hopes up too much. I'm looking forward to it very, very much.
Yeah.
And Jen K says, good, Miss Everyone's up with their game, which I do agree with that. Other shows, you know, and Game of Thrones was only one of several shows, one of several series that ended this year. Yeah. This is a big year for endings.
Yeah.
Like Star Wars ending as we speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, sort of, you know.
In a way, yeah, in a way.
Okay, I'm just going to say it right now. I want to say this because I don't feel like I... The entire idea of the Skywalker saga, of there being 9 movies, is a blatant, shameless retcon. Did you not see this? Like, I mean, talking seriously about, like, it's the final movie in the story that goes back 40 years. Like, no, it didn't. They're telling you that's how far it goes back. They just made it up, like, in 2013.
The Skywalker saga is a new thing for me. But I think they pinned it that way because they're like, you know, they still want to make Star Wars movies. But they're like, oh, you can forget about that old Luke Skywalker. Even kind of like how we're seeing with The Mandalorian, it's like, I feel like you can't have any sort of Star Wars property without kind of mentioning the things that happened either way in the original movies. Like, it's all going to revolve around the Empire or the First Order. And guess what? Luke took down the Empire. Guess what? You know, Rey, or I assume, is going to take down the First Order. So it's all going to be connected. Yes. But they're just it might be just like that pretty bow where it's like, oh yeah, we're finishing it. You know, it's going to be fun and you're never going to hear about these people ever again. That's a lie. I know I'm going to hear about them. You're not going to give them up. Yeah.
It feels a little PR spin to
me. Yeah. Yeah.
But so that's ending. Obviously huge. Also big things. Veep ended, which was a very trailblazing comedy on HBO.
Yeah.
The Good Place is ending. Vikings, you know, Vikings has been around for a long time. That was kind of like the post-first Game of Thrones. It wasn't fantasy, but it was... It had all the rest of it, like the medieval times, the politicking, the kind of the battles, everything.
Yeah, that one's a sneaky one.
It's sneaky. It also, very big following, though. BoJack Horseman is ending, which is a personal favorite show of mine on Netflix. I've been watching it more recently, and I think it, now that it's almost over, I think it might be one of the best of the decade after it's all complete. So we're seeing that the end of a lot of stuff, but I think there's a lot of good stuff. I think this kind of decade of TV pushed it into new areas, and we're already seeing like the next generation of great shows. They're kind of getting up to speed.
Yeah.
Stuff like Succession is hitting its stride about now. I'm enjoying Barry a lot. People talk about Fleabag, but they can't shut up about it. They love that
really?
Thing. Have you watched it?
No, I know about the hot priest thing, so I think that that pretty much seals the deal. And I like Andrew Scott, so
Mrs. Maisel is a big hit. Yeah. Stranger Things, of course, has been kind of, I mean, Stranger Things has been on for only 3 seasons, but like 4 years or like 5 years.
Yeah.
The Crown's big, so we're getting a lot of new stuff around the corner that started. And The Mandalorian, of course. I think The Mandalorian is kind of the place where I would like to see post-Game of Thrones shows go.
Yeah.
I think that's done the best job of taking like, okay, so Game of Thrones raised the bar in this way, and it told us we can have more production value in our TV. Mm-hmm. We can have more money in our TV. We can have like grander ambition in our TV.
Yeah.
But did something a little bit different with it. Like I'm watching His Dark Materials and a
you're still hanging in there.
Show. It's only one episode left.
Oh, good.
And that's, it just hasn't really kind of connected because it's kind of still doing Game of Thrones-y things. Mm. But The Mandalorian is its own show.
Yeah, it definitely feels unique. And yeah.
Even though it's in the Star Wars universe.
Right, exactly. That's why I will say it is one of those where it's like, it is in the Star Wars universe, but this one does kind of feel like uniquely separate from, you know, what they would call the Skywalker saga. So I guess they are making strides in that sort of way.
I mean, it's different because it's structurally different. Like, it's got standalones, it's got shorter episodes. Mm-hmm. It's taken the good things about this kind of peak TV action era and added its own stuff without being too slavishly devoted to the
book. Exactly.
Julie Davis says, looking forward to Outlander. I gotta get into Outlander. And loving Britannia. Britannia is a show that, like, I don't think a lot of people are watching, but it also, it's kind of the Vikings, Last Kingdom.
I see,
medieval-y drama mold, which I should. Louise loves Fleabag. I'm watching like season one now. I'm getting through it. And Jen Casey, really quick, asks, anyone hear about the Red Woman from GOT could be a runner-up to be in the prequel since she is hundreds of years old? Melisandre, it is true, could be in House of the Dragon because Melisandre is like 400 years old.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised I didn't know. Yeah. Well, I would. I mean, it would be good to see a familiar face, I'm sure. If anything.
I mean, or not. I mean, I guess like she's small enough that, like, let me put it this way. If Luke Skywalker showed up in The Mandalorian, I'd be like, get out of there. Stop trying to.
I was
annoyed when they went to Tatooine. Yeah. Like, just don't. Like,
really? Not even as like a fun cameo, sort of?
Maybe it's a fun cameo.
Okay.
But like, not like a serious part of the story.
Yeah, I think more
like,
so, yeah.
It's better if it's its own thing.
I see.
And I wouldn't want a Game of Thrones prequel to lean too heavily on what happened before, or in this case, after.
I see, yeah.
I don't think they would, because Melisandre's like not a giant character, so I'm sure she could breeze through and be fine. Just like, don't
have it all in your face like that.
Don't shackle yourself too much. I mean, I think it's part of the problem with the Star Wars prequels. I mean, sequels are, to me, is that they're kind of, they're very tied to the older movies.
They are. Even the prequels. I sent my brother a Snapchat because I was watching, I think, the episode 3. And Natalie Portman, who plays Queen Amidala, had these Princess Leia buns in her hair. And I Snapchatted my brother. Was like, as you can see, George Lucas did this choice because he thinks we're all idiots. And we wouldn't be able to catch on to the fact that that's her mother. So, yeah.
Sorry. All right. Another giant thing that happened. I mean, another ending was... Another ending that's not really an ending is Avengers Endgame ended... Kind of the
Infinity
story
saga.
Of
that's
the Infinity
they,
Saga.
Yeah.
Now, when does that start officially? Like, with what Marvel movie does the Infinity
it
Saga
starts
start?
Day one with Iron Man.
Day one? Okay, yeah, So this is, I guess it is. So 2008, Iron Man ends with Infinity.
Or Endgame, technically,
In 2019. Yeah. Is that the story we're going with?
Yeah, that's it. The span of 20 something odd movies.
That's 11 years.
Yeah,
that's 20 movies.
That's a
big deal.
Commitment.
Mia, you're a giant fan. Did this live up to the enormous buildup?
You know what? I have seen it split. I will say, I will answer personally that I enjoyed Endgame. And, sure. like, when I saw it, I had no problems with it. It kind of, to me, yeah, there might be some nitpicky things, but I think the way that they kind of, it was really all about, like, putting the old heroes to rest.
Yes.
And saying, okay, now we're going to move on to do something new. We've kind of, because it's kind of like ever changing anyway. Like, we, Spider-Man was introduced kind of really midway. Ant-Man was midway. Yeah. Then there's Black Panther. So, like, you're going to get new stuff, but we're going to ease you into it with all these old heroes, too. So, I think it wrapped it up quite nicely. They still kind of can't let go. Like, Thor is going to come back for a fourth movie, which I'm really excited about.
The Black Panther thing. Not yeah. Black Panther, Black Widow.
Yeah, the black. Yeah, yeah. I totally forgot about that. It's like they are sort of. I think they're still kind of like, well, we can't really let go, but mostly I think out of fan service, Black Widow for sure because everyone has been asking for a movie for her.
Sure.
And then the Thor because I honestly think Taika Waititi deserves a second chance.
By the way, really quick break for a second chance. You kidding? He, I mean, based on that, he deserves
not a second chance. I mean, like. Like, we need to see him again. Yeah.
But Julie Davies says, Merry Christmas, Julie. Happy New Year. We'll see you in three weeks.
All here. Right.
Have a great time. Let's see, Newton, North of the Wall, Polar Bear is kind of like. yeah, I mean, as someone who kind of, let me ask you this. Like, mm-hmm. we were talking about earlier about, can these things live up to, like, the rapturous hype, like Game of Thrones, Rise yeah. of Skywalker? There was a lot of hype for Endgame.
There was, yeah.
Did it finish it in, like, a... Were you emotionally moved by the movie?
I was. I personally was. And again, like I was saying, it's kind of the way that they're ending those kind of heroes' legacy, you know, with Iron Man and Captain America were the two biggest ones. Mm-hmm. All the comments and negativity are flooding in my head as I think about it. But I personally did not have a problem. I'm like, just let the man retire. Let the guy die. Just let it happen. Move on with it. And I think people do, you know, as they all have their own ideas about what they want to happen. But while I was watching the movie, I like legitimately had no problem with the way things had wrapped up. So I, to me, Endgame had wrapped up everything quite nicely.
I wasn't aware there was a pushback with criticism and stuff.
Either that or, no, yeah, there were a couple, like, Captain America fans who thought what he did was kind of like, you know, out of character. Some people hated that Natasha or Black Widow was the one who was sacrificed. So everybody, like, it was more so
for Hawkeye. For anybody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, that was, but I think everyone has especially their own favorite character. I don't know if it's so much so like that in Game of Thrones where people have their favorite character.
Oh, they definitely do.
Yeah, they want to see, you know, such and such happen to them and they feel very strongly about that. So that's more so how it happened.
What they didn't want to see was Daenerys.
Yeah, even I feel strongly about Daenerys.
A lot of people. And again, that's another thing where I'm like, I half respect it and mm-hmm. half... didn't want it to happen. I know they keep coming back to this. I think the choice was amazing. I think that's a really bold, cool choice.
For Daenerys?
Yeah, I think they could have. My problem was they didn't sell it.
Exactly.
Not so much that they did it.
Yeah.
Like, I thought they did it. Sherry Fix says she agrees that the legacy endings were appropriate. It is all about clearing her ledger with Black Widow and kind of clearing the ledger with Marvel in general.
Yeah.
Did you know, really quick sidebar, that Vulture did a list ranking every movie of the 2010s, like 5,000? Okay, they didn't really do it. It was like, they like wrote blurb for like the top and bottom 50, and then like the middle ones were all just like kind of just giant pacings of lists with nothing. They weren't really ranked.
Yeah.
But as a statement, they put Avengers Endgame at the very bottom, like 5,892nd or whatever. Which I think is a little dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it, that's for show, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not the worst movie.
Wait, this was movies of the decades?
Yes.
5,000? A movie like The Croods came out?
It said it was the worst movie of the decade, according to this list. And they ranked all 5,000.
So. Holmes and Watson came this decade.
It kind of bugged me. Like, clearly, you're just trying to say something.
They might have been doing that to rile people up. It kind of... A little bit of a secret into the process of the fan side of 250 is that also kind of, it's like when we're voting, we're like, ooh, what are fans going to like if we put Minecraft and Fortnite next to one another? Is that going to get fans like riled up? It's just something to, but I do think putting Avengers Endgame at the very bottom is like a, you know, come on, man.
It's a weird we understand what you don't flex.
Speaking
of superheroes, though, I think that this was also the year that a lot of like superhero counter programming came on. Like, we had Watchmen, Joker, and The Boys on Amazon, even. They were all kind of, can I say, Marvel's very bright and fun.
Yeah.
But we're going to get dark. We're going to do Joker, which is a nihilistic movie, and make a bigger story about that. Hugely profitable, too.
Oh, yeah.
Watchmen was a huge hit with critics. And again, like, did like the kind of underbelly superhero thing. Like, they're not, they're heroes, but also they have a lot of problems.
Right.
And maybe they are the ones who need to be stopped at the end. Yeah. I didn't watch The Boys, but apparently it was violent, too. I predict, my prediction is, we're going to see more of that.
Yeah.
As superhero movies aren't going anywhere, but I think the tone's going to change a bit as people kind of look for other ways to enjoy superhero movies.
And I think it is kind of like, they're kind of selling you this other side or this other idea. Like, aren't you tired of superheroes?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a meta thing where it's like, in our reality and within the reality of the show, it's like, you know, so many superheroes, I'm getting tired of them, and you know, maybe they're corrupt, or maybe they're not what you think they are, so what if we showed you this other way? And if it's, you know, executed right, you know, like with Watchmen, or like, if you want to say with Joker, then it's like, oh, wow, yeah, that really got me to think about our heroes. And I wouldn't say Joker is a hero. That's a completely different thing. But it does put a spin on, you know, like how you see things. And I do think DC is really trying to go into that edgier sort of, you know, like, okay, Marvel isn't going to put out an R-rated movie, so why don't we just do it? Why don't we do more of, you know, like, origins about, who knows, Penguin?
And they finally found a way to make it work.
Yeah, they, a little bit. Suicide Squad 2 should be coming out. Birds of Prey is going to be rated R, so we're going to have all those, like, different takes on the superhero genre.
The irony is that, like, the counter-programming is still more superheroes. It's just different kinds of superheroes. Like, we're not getting away from that.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a little bit different of a way.
Yeah.
And, oh, and can't forget, Sherry points out, there's also the CW crisis going on. There's a whole world of CW that we're really talking about.
Yeah.
Which I haven't watched. Just, you know, there's so much to watch.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's exciting to see what's going on.
Folk loves that. She also recommends The Boys, so I will try and check that out. Or Louise does. Really quick, I think this is the year that Disney went all in on their animated remakes between Aladdin, The Lion King, Dumbo, Lady and the Tramp. They're here to stay. They're making a lot of money. And I hope you like taking your kids the things that you enjoyed when you were a child, only now it's a little bit worse and a little less magical.
Yeah. I was joking with my dad the other night. And we were talking about, like, are we going to see Star Wars? And it's like, oh, well, we already saw Frozen together. And I was like, man, in the future, we're going to have, like, this communist society where it's like you can only pick between the two Disney movies
that we've been allowed to see. I fear that at night. I'm up at nights being terrified of that.
It's either, you know, sci-fi Disney movie or princess Disney movie. This is our society. But, I mean, that's pretty much how it feels like, because Disney, I think, had, like, $6 billion movies this year. Between Captain Marvel, Endgame, Frozen 2 just reached a billion.
Aladdin. Lion King.
Yeah, Lion King. It's like Toy Story crossed a billion too. So it's like one movie studio really dominating. And I think
they are the empire.
I think I've really only like made it out to see movies this year for Disney. And I was like, oh boy.
I know. And it crushes me. But also I get it. Again, it's one of those things where even if I shouldn't, I do. I can't not be put off by it. I can't not.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
There's an instinct, I think is a good instinct, to just be a little bit wary of there being too much power in one place.
Yeah.
Even if they're doing a good job, I don't think you should keep your eye off that.
Exactly.
Because like the second they have, in theory, the second they that you have no other choice, that's when the worm turns, and that's when they gouge you, or that's when the quality goes down because they know they can afford to make it go down, or not, or it'll be wonderful and let's embrace monarchy or whatever. But I think it pays to be a little
wary. It makes me, I'm like, I know they have those sort of restrictions, like in China, God forbid, you know, like North Korea, where it's
North
like you can
only see. What the hell am I watching North Korea?
It's like where you get like, you know, your media, what you see is, you know, tailored. It's, you know, censored or whatever. So it's like, you only get two Disney movies. Mm-hmm. You better enjoy them. But I mean, I enjoy Disney movies anyway, so the future.
I do too. I just feel a little bad about it. So that's part of the future.
Yeah.
That was kind of our last section here.
Oh, Mulan is coming too next year. Mulan. I thought there was.
See, that one looks pretty good to me.
It's interesting. Like, yeah, it's
that looks different.
It's
enough.
A divergent from because you know the other one was kind of like a half musical or whatever. Yeah. This one seems really serious. So
like it doesn't just look like. Let's do the exact same thing, but it's live action.
Yeah.
Which, like, they could do because it's just people. But I that one looks interesting.
It does, yeah.
Even though it is Disney, so I'd be a little weird, but it looks interesting. That was my next question, which is, like, so what? Now that 2019 is over and a lot of things happened, what does it bode? Those words go together. For the future. So you think that Disney will continue to be Monopoly.
Right.
Probably just crush it.
Exactly.
I've talked about how I think The Mandalorian is a good way for kind of post-Game of Thrones shows to go forward. You don't have to go sprawling and huge to make use of these resources. You can go a little smaller.
Yeah.
Or just do your own thing. Like, if there's a show that finds a way to go even more epic and sprawling and huge, and it's different, fine. My concern is that with His Dark Materials and also with another show that I can't talk about yet, they seem to be kind of aping the style of Game of Thrones. When they don't really need to, like they're just kind of doing it because Game of Thrones did it, and it's not really working for me.
Yeah,
that's why I like The Mandalorian of doing it's sort of its own thing. So I hope shows go that direction. What else do you see for the future of entertainment?
You know, I'm just sort of curious overall about you know what we've been calling the streaming wars. I really want to see how it all plays out between you know people like are people going to be fed up? You know, reach a boiling point to where they're like, I'm not paying for every single one of these services. Between like, again, I can still see Netflix being solidified, Disney being solidified. I really, really want to see what happens to Apple TV, even though they've got the money and they've got, you know, kind of like, I just feel like if there's not enough buzz between all these good shows with these, you know, high profile sort of people, like what's going to, I don't know why I'm just so curious about what's going to happen to Apple TV.
They are in a unique position because they're one that's not getting buzzed about, but they are one that has enough money to keep going as long as as long as they want.
And they got the Golden Globe nominations, like Morning Show, which was kind of interesting. So it's like
okay, who do they pay? Like that was my question when I saw that. Like you're nominating the Morning Show for all of these things, really?
Yeah.
Like people were very divided on that. Who did you pay?
So I am just really kind of interested. And I mean, Apple in their own way is just a powerhouse altogether. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, they can do whatever they want, whenever they want.
I have some thoughts. I want to take a quick comment break here because these are too good enough to go pass up. Sherry thinks that remakes tend to reflect change in society and can't wait to see a new remake with a orange dictator. We'll just leave there. And points that each of us has their niches. And I will read Jen Casey's comment about her theory in a minute. Maybe we'll end with that. But about more Apple TV stuff.
Yeah.
I've had this kind of thought that, you know, I've been worried about the post-Game of Thrones kind of streaming wars. And, like, how people are going to use these bigger shows to compete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Apple has a show called C that, like, eight people watch, which was cost like $1 jillion.
Yeah.
About Jason Momoa being a blind man and, like, a post-apocalyptic, like wilderness area. It's all epic and stuff. Like, nobody watched it, but they made it, and they're making another season of it. Like, these services like Apple and Amazon, which is making Lord of the Rings show, Wheel of Time show, like, even if those shows don't return a profit, like, they can keep making them because they have all this money.
Yeah.
And it might, like, prolong this post-Game of Thrones battle period longer than it would if they actually had to trade on their successes.
Yeah. And to me, it might be like they're putting up a front of some sorts, kind of like, oh yeah, look at all this good stuff we have. But it's like, but who are you flashing this around for? It's okay to accept defeat. You don't have to continue, please. So
it's like, we have all this money, we gotta put it, we might as well build a giant set the size of Cincinnati. We gotta do something with it. I think there will be a bubble bursting, but again, it's where I think that, like, it might not come as soon as it should because there's all this high-powered money involved and all this momentum
too involved. Too much pride. That's what it is.
Or, I'm not sure it's, like, pride. It's just, like, when the bureaucracy is that big, the wheels take a while to stop turning.
That's
like, once they're going, like, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
Because it's just that huge. And even though, like, the smart thing to do to be like, make a hairpin turn and pivot, but like, when the vehicle's that big and the wheels are that big, you can't do that. I love the metaphor I have going, this whole wheel
it
thing.
It's really, okay, yeah, I would love to see a whole written piece on that.
Excellent. Any other thoughts about the future of entertainment?
Oh, man.
Based on what happened in 2019?
I don't know. I'm just, I guess, yeah, there's a lot of optimism here to see where we go, how streaming evolves and continues, how movies evolve and continue. Like, Netflix is running their movies in theaters, you know, so they can get, like, Oscar, you know, consideration. So Oh, that also reminds me. I know we're moving on, but it does remind me of how my dad was talking about how back in the day movie studios wanted to open their own like studio so they can strictly run their own
films.
That's called
vertical integration.
Yeah,
that's illegal.
Yeah, that's illegal. So that's what I'm kind of wondering. Like, how can Netflix get by with this? They bought like the Paris Theater in New York. So that's what I'm also wondering. How is that going to play out?
The Supreme Court is going to reconsider a decree made back like decades ago that kept Disney from buying their own theaters. So yeah, that should be a little concerning because the reason they didn't want that to happen is because if a movie studio owns the theater, they can just like, yeah, we're not going to show other kinds of movies here. It's just not going to happen. And they can like charge more. It really kept competition down. And that's what they had to step in. That's what can happen. That's like, that's why I get nervous when I see Disney doing so incredibly well.
Would I be interested to see what a Disney theater looks like? Yes. Do I want to see it? No. All right.
Okay. Let's read some comments here because some come up before we wrap up. I think Jen had a rather lengthy Game of Thrones theory to read. I had liked the theory of the Red Woman and Gendry make Lightbringer for Jon, and it all played out that way to kill the KK. The KK? Night King? I don't know. Because I didn't want to see Brandon live. Jen. and Jaime kill Cersei, and he ended up in the Night's Watch, and Tyrion killed Bronn, Sansa raised Jon's child to come of age. I wanted that ending. It made more sense. That is an elaborate ending.
It is.
And I will think about it. I'll dream about it tonight, and I'll tell you how it goes. Louise, it's happy Christmas. In a new decade, who knows where the next big thing will come from. They need to find something new and not keep attempting dragons. Mm. I could agree with that for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
That's part of what, I'm very conflicted about the Game of Thrones follow-up, because on one way, it's the one I wanted. Mm-hmm. It is. I think
another
it's the
best
turn story.
Out as Fantastic Beasts.
I don't know. That's depressing. Let's go on. That's still happening, right?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic Beasts 3. There's going to be a bunch. Get ready. In the new year.
As Isabel says, that show sounds weird, and I love Momoa. Yeah, that show does sound weird. Mm-hmm. I know one person who's watched it. Have you watched it?
No, I don't want to. Okay. You know, I like Jason Momoa. It's just, it has no appeal.
He's working. Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. Yeah, it's an odd choice. I mean, it's another one that I kind of have some here's another thing that's going to happen with these big streaming things. They're going to give this money, and I've already seen this started to happen with some shows that I can't talk about yet, to people who are going to spend it and make these like big lavish productions, and they're... grasp is going to out they're not going to be as good as they think they are. I was trying to go for like their grasp exceeds their reach, however that goes. C sounds like something that someone had a really great idea for, but like probably wouldn't get made on this scale just right off the bat, but because they need something they're going to give it to them, and it's going to happen, and maybe it's going to be, you know, not as good as it should have been, or it should have like been made on a smaller budget, like as a proof of concept first. But there's going to get it. I think we're going to see some stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where this was not ready for prime time.
It's like act first, think later.
But it came out. I'm afraid there'll be fewer movies being made. I'm not really worried about that. Like between Netflix and Amazon and normal movies and, you know, Hulu and all kinds of original stuff going on, there should be movies. I think they'll be distributed differently.
Right. Yeah, I think that's more so. Like we're having a Martin Scorsese sort of freak out moment right now. It's like, what's going to happen to movies in theaters?
Exactly. He's upset. He based on Netflix. That's what he did.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that, by the way. Boom. And Sherry asks, aren't these going to be replaced by streaming services? Which, I don't know about replaced. I think they will continue to coexist.
I would, yeah. I think there's some legs left in theaters.
And Jen, you're welcome. If you have any more comments, I'd love to read whatever you're happening. Okay, so have any plans for the break? We're going to be off for 2 weeks coming up here.
I know. It's going to be a really, really long time. I just want to relax, maybe catch up, binge watch. I would actually like to binge watch now that it's out all of Watchmen. And I've kind of been
do that.
I've seen some of the things, but it's still kind of a blank slate for me. So I think I can watch it without knowing like too many of the spoilers, all that. So,
it was fun. I would not mind talking about it. It ended well. It didn't end like great, but it ended well.
Yeah, I've heard some good things about it. So I'm like really, really trying to do at least one to knock off on my list. Right. I know I can't be too ambitious. How about you?
I'll still be working a bunch, but once I'm going to try to read, maybe I'll take a break from TV a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll try to see Scott. I'll see Cats. I'm looking forward to that. And then I'll see it again.
Yeah. Oh.
I'll try to read some, I think.
We've got one last. Let's see. You've seen Six Underground. Michael Bay made a good movie. Should it be a series? I've seen a review. I've heard it's very Michael Bay. It's like lots of explosions and actions and high octane. So.
I'm big in a bay. And Trace, have a wonderful Christmas. Everybody out there, have a wonderful Christmas. Before I go, I forgot to mention at the top of the thing, but... and Louise agrees. We're watching The Watchmen over the break. We are available on iTunes if you want to download us there to listen on your commute or when you go to visit family this holiday season. If you want to give us a review, that'd be even better. The more number of stars, the more effusive the praise, the better to get our message of hope and peace and TV out there. And beyond that, we are going to be gone for 2 weeks. So next Wednesday after that, not going to be here because it will be, Christmas, New Year's, all that jazz. And you almost Lodge 49. I could binge that, actually, says Terry. I've heard that's a great show. Yeah. That's a pretty good idea, Terry. We'll be back in January. I can even put the date here. We'll be back on Wednesday, January the 8th.
Oh, boy. Oh,
but beyond that, hope you all have a great holiday break. Hope you watch some fun things. Come back and tell us about it.
Yeah.
And we will see you in a few weeks. Bye, everybody. Bye. Happy holidays.